So what is the police procedure for that? If you show up to someone's house and they said, hey, thanks for coming, I'm the one that called you, is the response to say, yeah, we're here, we're going to tase you now?
Yeah. Thank you, and get ready to get tased. Get some of this electrical current in your chest.
Let's talk about what you got going on, I promise you.
Ryan
gonna call the police
tonight.
You gotta talk to
me, alright?
Can't do it
like this. Before you call the police, what else can be done?
I'm dead.
This is DP.
Welcome to
Building Bridges with Black Men.
Before you call the police, while I'm at home trying to edit my video. What else could be done?
Please figure out what else could be done before you call the police. I'm in my own home.
Trying to edit my video.
Trying to work.
Try to get things on YouTube and get the police called on me.
And I'm the one calling them. Yeah.
We got here a black man called 911 to report intruder. Cops tased him instead. In California, this actually was in Hollywood.
Oh, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
So a black documentary filmmaker called 911 to report an intruder in his California apartment. But when the cops arrived, they tased him instead. Damian Smith, who directed Target St. Louis Volume 1. Now, this is a documentary examining the accusations of the U.S. military's secret chemical testing on predominantly black residents of Northern St. Louis, filed a lawsuit against LAPD on June 15th. The lawsuit, 2023, let me just put that in there. The lawsuit says Smith returned to his apartment where he lived for 10 years in Hollywood around 12:30, okay, on October 13th, 2021, when he saw an uninvited intruder standing in his home holding some of his belongings. Mm. Smith called 911 and officers with the LAPD arrived at around 1:30. So I called. Let's look at that. I called at 12:30. Mm. You arrive at 1:30.
An hour later. Wow.
The officers pointed their tasers, guns at Smith and ordered him to get on the ground. Smith said, I live here. I called 911. Mm. But the officers tased him 3 times. Mm. He was struck once in the chest and twice in the back. At the time that he was tased, Mr. Smith was standing inside of his home unarmed and was not posing a threat to the safety or welfare of the officers. A spokesman for the LAPD said the department wouldn't comment on pending litigation. After tasing him, officers placed Smith in handcuffs and escorted him to a patrol car parked on the street.
What in the world?
Come on, man.
Didn't ask for no ID or nothing?
Nah.
Or does your ID have this as your address?
Yeah.
You could even ask me for a lease or something. Just automatically tase me and take me to the cop car.
Several community members saw Smith being taken to the patrol car and told officers that he lived there.
Okay.
And they had arrested the wrong person. Smith was not charged after the incident, according to the LA Times. Another man was arrested at Smith's apartment. And he was convicted of burglary in July 2022. Smith suffered injuries to his chest, his back, and his nervous system, and also experienced embarrassment and public ridicule, according to the lawsuit. The officers racially profiled Smith and followed police practices in which officers overreact to black people whom they wrongly assume to be criminals. Mm. The physical pain, emotional distress, and embarrassment that Mr. Smith endured at the hands of officers remain to this day. Smith and his attorney did not respond. Look at this. Listen to this. At the time of the incident, Smith was working on a documentary about police brutality.
Uh-oh.
Called Searching for Officer Friendly. He told the outlet he was having difficulty continuing his work on the film because of his personal experience with the police. To do a documentary about policing, you have to deal with policing, and I'm traumatized by dealing with police. Mm. Right now, it's really hard. Smith told the Medium outlet that he was inspired to make the film after his grandmother sent him an article about the alleged chemical testing that took place in St. Louis in the 50s and 60s. He wanted to bring awareness to the issue. Smith's lawsuit accuses LAPD of false arrest, assault, and battery, and intentional infliction of mental distress, violation of civil rights, and inadequate training, among other claims. He is seeking damages unspecified amount. Man, give you everything you want. Give every amount of money this man deserves to get. In his house, I'm called law enforcement.
And says, I'm the one that called. So what is the police procedure for that? If you show up to someone's house and they said, hey, thanks for coming, I'm the one that called you. Is the response to say, yeah, we're here, we're going to tase you now?
Yeah. Thank you. Get ready to get tased. Get some of this electrical current in your chest because this is how we're going to do it. No, I know, you know, we're being funny, but it doesn't make any sense. First of all, if I call, I feel there's a threat.
Yeah.
So I need you to come and help to eliminate the threat.
Within an hour, though.
Within a yeah. Took from 12:30 to 1:30.
Wow. Now, you know, I remember one time I heard someone ask the great Cornel West, does he believe in conspiracies? And he said, no, I don't believe in conspiracies. I just believe in secret things happening behind closed doors that are to some people's advantage. So I'm not saying it's a conspiracy that he's doing a documentary on the police and then he gets arrested. But, you know, maybe there might be a little conspiracy.
Right. Because if I can get DoorDash faster than the police should show up to someone in my house, that's an hour later, said.
And this was, I remember, I think they said it was Hollywood, right? Am I thinking about the right thing? This was Hollywood area of L.A.?
Uh-huh. But it shouldn't take you an hour for the police to get there.
Yeah.
Particularly when it comes to a burglary. I mean, again, that's somebody in your house as you're either there or either, as he did, he shows up, somebody is, you know, in my house, something doesn't seem right. And he told you I live there. I'm the one that called the 911.
Yeah, and the article doesn't say how they got in the house. So did they knock and he opened the door?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? So did he open the door and then they came in? Or maybe his door was open? Or they didn't say, but still, I mean, what is the procedure on verifying somebody? And then even after that, it said his neighbors were vouching for him as they were taking him out.
Yeah, because it says he lived there for 10 years. He returned home around 12:30. He saw an uninvited intruder standing in his home. Okay, so I'm like you. Did I walk in the door? I saw a dude standing there. Because I don't know. I don't know what happened like that. Like, hey, man, what you doing? Like, do you notice somebody in your house? So I'm making the call from the outside.
Yeah.
Smith called 911. Officers with the LAPD arrived at around 1:30. Oh, at the time that he was tased, Mr. Smith was standing inside of his home, unarmed, and was not posing a threat to the safety or welfare. So again, I'm like you. Mm-hmm. Who are you? What's your name? Where do you live? Because all you have to do is say, got a call at such and such an address. Person's name is such and such.
Yeah.
Hands up. Who are you? I'm Damian Smith.
Yeah. And if he lived there for 10 years, his ID would have more than likely had his current address on it. To say, can I, or even if it has address, just his name.
Yeah.
Because they would have had from headquarters, so Damian Smith called.
Thank you.
Who are you? Let me see your ID.
Right.
Okay, you're him. Okay, how can we help you?
Yeah, but
this was immediately, I see a black man, dreads, long beard. He lived in here in this Hollywood place.
Mm-hmm.
He must be the person.
And 12:30 at night. So in context, so it's midnight going into 1 in the morning. Mm. Do I respond differently? I would think procedurally you still follow the same procedures. Identify yourself.
Mm.
But the element is different. So nighttime versus daytime. They not getting a pass. I'm just simply saying I'm still not coming shooting you before I ask procedure those same questions.
Yeah.
I would think. Get down. What's your name? Hey, he don't get an opportunity to say his name before he get lit up.
Probably.
So I don't know. I mean, again, we're not saying what you did is not part of what you feel is in your job description, what we're saying is there something else that always can be done before some sort of lethal, non-lethal force is interjected?
Yeah.
In this situation, even though it's non-lethal, it's still something, it seems like something else could have been done.
Yeah, was he not complying?
Uh-huh.
But they say he was unarmed and just standing there.
Yeah.
So also for this, I mean, is our lesson from this one, before you call the police for help, you need to think about something else?
Or practical advice, as you said, and we talked offline, it's like, because of these, we're trying to keep people safe and alive.
Yeah.
So if you're making a call and saying, hey, somebody's in my house, where do you go? You know, where do you stand? Do you sit in your car? Do you sit on top of your car?
Yeah.
Are you down the street? Hey, I live there, but.
Well, it seemed like the lesson we're learning from several of these episodes we've done, if you're a black man
mm-hmm.
and you need to call the police for help, find a good neighbor like State Farm is there.
Yeah.
And go to that neighbor.
Yes.
And say, who can vouch for you? Because I'm even thinking about this myself now.
Yes.
If ever a situation where I think I need to call the police.
Yeah.
I have a mixture of neighbors of different ethnicities, but I may go to my white neighbor's house
mm-hmm.
and say, I just called the police for something. Mm-hmm. I need to be with you.
Yeah.
Based on what we've been seeing in
right.
some of these events, it's almost like, yeah, before you call the police as a black man to help you, find a neighbor who can vouch for you and can be with you.
That's it. You better.
While you're waiting.
Right. You need a good white ally. You yeah. really do. You need an ally that's going to be able to be there for you and speak up and say, hey, he lives here.
Yeah. I mean, if like we said, we're trying to save lives, and it may seem like, oh, that's too much. You know, I have a right. Okay, that's nice. Let's talk about your right after everything is solved.
That's exactly it.
And you're safe.
For every for every article that we can find where somebody called and was only tased, I guarantee you we can find an article where somebody called and has been shot and
yeah.
killed.
Yeah. I mean, we did at least two of them, I think, like that.
Yeah.
He called the police for himself and got shot.
Right, right, right. It's too many encounters and too many situations where, again, we're deemed as a threat.
Yeah.
And every one of us is not a threat. So, again, we don't minimize. We understand it's a hard job to do. So none of that. It's just, but sometimes I'm wondering if you can just ask the initial questions based off the information that is given. And every situation is different. So for burglary, you know, address 1021 Melrose Avenue, the occupant's name is Damian Smith. You got mm-hmm. it. So when I come blazing, I'm assuming, I don't know, hands up. What's your name? I'm Damian Smith.
Yeah.
Okay, that's part of the threat that's going down, because unless a burglar knows your name who lives there, let me find some mail real quick just in case they stop.
That would
me.
Be even crazier because it said he was in his house. What would be even crazier was if they knocked on the door and he opened the door and said, thanks for coming. And they said, get on the floor. Why would a thief answer the door and let you in?
Right. It's not making sense. It's not making sense. So.
Yeah, it's almost like, so to white allies, if your mm-hmm. black friend tells you, hey,
mm-hmm.
I just called the police to come deal with something. I need to stay with you, or can you come stay with me?
Yeah.
You know, listen to that and please help mm-hmm. them, because mm-hmm. they may be concerned about their life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I'm thinking about it myself now.
Yeah.
Like before, I would not think about it. It's like, okay, if I needed something and it was beyond what I was able to take care of, let me call mm-hmm. the police. I'm thinking right now, like, I'm going to probably just go to one of my white neighbors.
Yeah.
And say that, you know.
Yeah.
They're coming. I need to be here with you. I know if you want to explain or not, just I need you to be with me. Just tell them you're scared or something. Whatever.
Right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yeah. And because if we want to eradicate wrongdoing, that's the word, eradicate wrongdoing, and mm-hmm. always, you know, we getting stopped by the police. Sometimes, as we see our white allies, we need for you to step in and be a part of this change.
Yeah.
That systemically we all want to see. Because nobody wants to see innocent people getting shot. Nobody wants to see innocent people getting tased, innocent people getting handcuffed. Until it's happened to you, It's really until it's really happened to you, you don't know what it feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, as you and I've said before, I know what it's like to get stopped,
yeah.
to get asked questions, to feel humiliated in the mall for something you didn't even do. You know, so until you really feel that, it's hard to say what Byron could have did differently, or what Devin could have did differently, or what any black man could have done differently. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, what could the other side have done differently?
Yeah.
Not even law enforcement. People who are making phone calls, like, what could you have done differently? That's what this whole podcast is about. Before you call the police, what else could be done?
Yeah.
You know?
And let's have that debate about what could have been done after everybody's safe.
Yes.
And that's what we're saying. Take the second moment. We try to give some practical advice to make sure you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can talk about, well, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't
right.
have been as angry and all this stuff. Okay, that's fine. Let's just get through this first.
Right. Right.
And then we'll deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because every situation, again, does not call, you know, for you to call the police. Every meal I have doesn't call for a knife and a fork. It may call for a spoon.
Yeah.
You know, situations and what they entail causes for various things to happen. So these are people's lives, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking about. So.
Yeah. Before you call the police to help you. You know, you got to think, what else can you do before they show up? And like I said, I'm thinking, if you're a black man, the advice would be find a white ally that you could either come be with you, or you can
mm-hmm.
go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a white ally, help your black friend, help
yep.
your black neighbor
right.
To be safe.
That's it.
I ain't gonna call the police or nothing. You gotta talk to me, alright? Can't do it like this. Let's just talk, bro.
Before you call the police, what else can be done?
Can't do it like this. Let's just talk, bro.
Okay, Daddy, you're sobbing. Daddy, let's make some dinner.